Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
Since 1994, Howard University's Alternative Spring Break, ASB, program has been committed to serving communities in need and involving students in meaningful service projects in order to develop the next generation of servant leaders. Instead of a traditional spring break, approximately 1,100 Howard students have volunteered to serve across more than 22 cities. They will focus on addressing issues including homelessness, poverty, illiteracy, access to women's health care, and water crises, just to name a few. This year, the student-led program and Howard's Office of the Dean of the Chapel celebrate a 26-year-long commitment to faith, service, and justice. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the Executive Student Director for ASB 2020, Sydney Montgomery. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So give me your Howard intro.
Of course. My name is Sydney Montgomery. I am a junior political science and sociology double major, legal communications minor from Chino Hills, California.
Chino Hills, California.
Yes.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Chino Hills, California.
Oh, man, my city. Well, it's a small suburban city, 40 miles from Los Angeles, California. That's typically what I tell people. I live in Southern California. We're not known for much. Definitely have a lot of cows and a lot of grass, but I definitely have love for that city who raised me so well.
Now, that neighborhood that you grew up in, you describe as a suburban, slightly rural neighborhood. What was your initial schooling like in that neighborhood?
So growing up, I went to all the local elementary school, local junior high. And after eighth grade, my dad didn't necessarily like the local high school. He said that I was way too smart for that and that I needed something that was going to push me. So he got me an out-of-district transfer, is what we like to call it, and it was to a different high school that was about two or three towns away, and that was called Walnut High School. So this was an academic-enriched, STEM-based high school, so that's where I actually ended up going to high school.
And obviously, having to travel there, how long did it take you to get back and forth?
It took me about 20 minutes to get to school every morning, okay, with traffic sometimes 30.
So it wasn't too bad.
Nah, not too bad.
All right. And you said it was focused on STEM.
Yes.
And in terms of the demographics of who attended there, what were the demographics like?
The demographics were about 90% Asian American students, and the other 10% minority came from, you know, not really African Americans at all. You would more or less see those who were didn't look like me. If I'm being completely honest, I could literally count the amount of graduating seniors who were African-American on one hand, including myself.
Do you feel you were challenged?
Absolutely. That school definitely brought me out of my comfort zone, not only just because I was the new girl on the block, because these people have known each other since they were in elementary, middle school, and high school. So I was not only the new girl, but I was also one of the only minorities there.
And what do you think your parents were looking for in terms of making that? Obviously, your father wanted you to be challenged, and you probably not just academically. Do you think he was also looking for you to be challenged in that way that you just described personally?
Absolutely. I think for me as an individual, I would say my own personality, I've probably had more growth than I did academically as well. They both excelled, but I think for me, I gained more of who am I at that high school. I think that's really what I obtained once I graduated.
And then how did you make your way here to Howard from the West Coast?
So I went to a predominantly African-American church. It's one of the only African-American churches in Orange County, California. It's called Friendship Baptist Church. And our scholarship committee was very fortunate enough to let all of the juniors in the class of 2017 go on a HBCU college tour. So it was the summer before my junior year of high school. And me and all my friends who I've grown up with in that community, we toured Spelman, Morehouse, Clark Atlanta. We went to Norfolk State, but it was one Sunday, and I remember it was a Sunday. We stopped at Howard, and I was like, yo, what is this? Like, I've never seen the campus before. I've only heard of Howard. I never really knew much about it. And so once I found out that they had the major I was looking for, we walked around the campus. I said, this is the place for me to be. And so ever since then, I've been striving for it.
And you felt, as you walked around the campus, obviously you felt and saw something that resonated with you. Mm-hmm. Since you've been here, what has that something been?
I think for me, I'm a very personal person. I love people. I think the reason I'm put on this earth is to help people. That's my purpose. And so I saw actually the student ambassadors who were doing our tour. I was like, wow, I like these people. And not only that, we got to meet some faculty while we were here as well. So I think with that being said, part of the reason why I am here and I made it here is because of the environment that I'm surrounded by.
And what was your most influential class since you've been here?
Ooh, I'm going to say management and negotiations with Professor Diller. She's also an attorney, so I think that definitely helped out with me really liking that class a lot.
Okay. And what about that class drew you?
I really appreciate how she puts us in real life situations. So we would do mock trials all the time in that class, and so it really prepped you for, like, is this really something you want to do, or do you just say you want to do it? But I really do appreciate her for pushing us all and critiquing us and making us better for what we are set up to do in our future.
And as you think about your future, what are your aspirations in terms of your future? Specifically, what's your mission?
So for me, as I said before, I know I wanted to help people, so I pursue political science. My desired goal right now is to be an attorney. Upon graduation, I do plan to apply for law schools, Howard Law definitely being one of them on the list, of course. And after that, I do pursue a civil rights attorney in my future.
And as you think about civil rights in today's perspective, obviously those who have gone before us in a major civil rights movement really moved the laws significantly. What do you think are some of the greatest challenges around civil rights today?
I think around it is not only what we see now, but what we don't see, per se. A lot of the stories are still yet unheard. A lot of people who have great things to say, and even some things not as easy to talk about, we need to hear those stories from those individuals. So I still think that's a challenge that I would love to try to tackle.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Sydney Montgomery. She is the Executive Student Director for ASB 2020. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just switching gears a bit, let's talk a little bit about ASB, the Alternative Spring Break. So this is obviously housed in the office of the Dean of the Chapel, which is an interfaith community with an enduring legacy of developing spirituality in leaders for America and the global community. How and why did you get involved with ASB?
So my freshman year, I was actually a chapel assistant first. So my home was the office of the dean of the chapel. And from that, I had friends who had done ASB before, who were currently on the steering committee. And I was like, how do I be a part of that? This is something that I know I want to be a part of. And at the time, they were accepting applications for freshman interns. So I applied and I got accepted to be a public relations intern as my freshman year. Typically, we don't have freshmen on the committee, but very rarely when we do, we know they're going to be great and they're going to be stellar leaders moving forward. And with that, the next year, I stepped up and I was a site coordinator for New Orleans. And I was also the director of internal and external affairs. So I had two roles going on. And then this year, now I serve as the executive student director as well as a site coordinator for Williston, South Carolina.
Okay. Now, what site did you go to your first year?
My freshman year, I actually had the pleasure to serve in St. Thomas, the Virgin Islands. And I think that experience alone really hooked me into the program, being able to see what it was like after a hurricane hit somewhere. And me, West Coast, we only deal with earthquakes. And I'm just like, it's just an earthquake. It's, you know, you'll be fine. But seeing that a lot of the houses didn't have roofs on them, the school we served at literally had a tarp covering it, and just being able to see how a community of people banded together to try to bounce back from something so devastating, that was really powerful.
And I think that same year, my wife also went to Anguilla with some students, and she describes the same experience, you know, really surprised at what things looked like. Mm-hmm. What about New Orleans? What did you do in New Orleans?
New Orleans. So my initiative was combating the school-to-prison pipeline through education and youth uplift. So last year, I led my students down, and we did a lot of peer mentoring in the schools. I know one of our favorite schools was Martin Luther King High School. It's a high school, an elementary school, and a middle school kind of all together. And so my students loved that. And then in the afternoons, we went to College Track, and it's a college preparedness readiness program. So it deals with a lot of high school sophomores through seniors, and we were helping them kind of get, you know, acquitted with college applications and SAT and PSAT and everything like that, answering their questions about what it's like to go to Howard and all that stuff. So my participants had a lot of fun.
And what are you going to do in North Carolina this year?
So this year in South Carolina, this year in South Carolina, we will be also combating education. So where we're going is the rural South. So we're almost hitting Georgia at this point. And so in Williston, there's a lot. The crime rate is really, really high, as well as education and illiteracy is really, really high. So we will be going in doing almost similar things as we did in New Orleans, mentoring in the schools, working with some afternoon programs, dealing with Boys and Girls Clubs and things like that. And also we'll get a chance to work with some incarcerated youth.
Now, the students who participate in this, you all raise funds for this. Mm-hmm. And what's your biggest fundraiser?
So our biggest fundraiser every single year is called Radiothon. And so what it is essentially is a bucket brigade on Georgia Avenue. And so we are asking people as they're at the lights and stopped and even people, pedestrians walking by, just to, you know, whatever you have in your pocket, every cent literally counts and it makes a difference towards alternative spring break.
And do you have a goal in mind for what you're trying to raise?
Better than last year. We're always trying to almost double the amount for last year. Don't have a specific number in mind, but I know we're trying to get out there.
Okay, and I see that the theme for this year is also unusual.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about how you came up with the theme.
So, you know, me being a native Californian, I had to really stick to my roots on this one. But one of my favorite rappers, he actually just passed away, the late Nipsey Hussle, and his entire work ethic and his life story is really what inspired the theme of this year. So this year we are HU Service Continues, kind of played off of his The Marathon Continues type thing. And so basically what that means is that service necessarily isn't a race. Once you finish the race, you got to keep going. So it's a marathon. And so with that, we tried to play off the words and actually, you know, have it be something inspirational for our students.
Love it. 22 sites. How many of them are outside of the continental
so
U.S.?
So we are actually, well, we're going to count four, even though it's really three. We're going to count Oakland, California, because you got to fly. But with that being said, we do have three international sites. We'll be going to the Bahamas, Puerto Rico, and Ghana. And there we'll be doing a lot of great work as well.
Now, what's your recommendation to student leaders around these types of things and how they should approach kind of fulfilling their mission?
I definitely say, come at it with confidence, know what you're doing is really making a difference, and be authentic in who you are with it. I think a lot of times, you know, people, they're hesitant to, you know, they see programs like this and they're like, wow, that's so amazing. But they want to see you, you know, what have you gained from this program? What are you doing to contribute? So I always try to be as personable and as authentic as possible.
And why Howard? Obviously, you had a reason. You came here, you've had some good experiences with classes, mm-hmm. ASB, as you roll all of that up. And for that young teenager who's listening, including my two teenagers who will be making this decision in the coming years, mm-hmm. why Howard?
I knew for a fact that I wanted to help people. As I think I stated before, my mission and my purpose in life, and Howard has helped me develop this, is to help people. And so I wanted to take that and use my passion of service as well. And I put the two together. And so I turned my passion into a lifestyle. And so I think that's why I chose Howard. And Howard has definitely molded me and grown me to the individual that I am today.
And as you go out for Alternative Spring Break and 1,100 of you go, we want you to obviously come back safely.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything that you want the audience to know about why they should support ASB and why they should come out on March 1st and participate in the Radiothon?
Absolutely. Every donation counts. I mean, literally every donation counts. And the work that our students do is unbelievable. I mean, I remember my freshman year, I literally taught a little girl to read within 5 days. And I think that is probably one of my favorite ASB memories thus far. Not only that, but with students, with communities in general, beautifying the community, being able to even help students make college decisions. Some of the students that we've impacted over the years are now here at Howard. And so I thought that was amazing within itself. So it's definitely a cause that everybody should donate to. And I think it's only going up from here. It's only going to get better.
Thanks for being here. My guest today was Sydney Montgomery, and she's the Executive Student Director for ASB 2020. ASB 2020 is now the 26th year, and the students who are running it are probably now younger than the program has been. And that says a lot about our legacy here at Howard University. To support Alternative Spring Break 2020, you can log on to whur.com now and donate. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.